Now, real people, real opinions, Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Welcome back. This is Gareth O'Callaghan with Nighttime Talk Wednesday night. Now, how well do you know your kids? In the sense that when they go online, whether it's on their phone or their iPads or whether they have a laptop or whether you allow them to use your phone, who are they talking to and where do they go? Who do they meet? How do they respond? Do they talk to you about it? Do you talk to them about it? Well, I'm going to talk to somebody now who might shock you, particularly if you're not familiar with where your kids go to when they disappear off online. Guardians of the North is a group dedicated to keeping children safe from online groomers as well as paedophiles. It's based in the northeast of England. Members of the group create profiles of underage girls online in a bid to snare paedophiles. That's what they do. Eventually, a meeting is arranged, and during sting operations, would-be sex offenders are confronted by the members of Guardians of the North about their actions while also being filmed. It was established in April 2016 by a man called Joe Jones, and he joins me now. Good evening to you, Joe.
Good evening.
Joe, tell me a little bit about the background to the group, how you all came together, what brought you together. Was it an experience perhaps that one of you had that, as it were, drove you forward to, that made you feel there was a need for a group like this?
At first it was somebody was messaging my son, and I went to the police to ask for help. I got no help at all from the police. I went twice actually. And I still didn't get any help, and I just went back home as a helpless parent, wondering what I would say to my child. But instead, what I did is I got a little bit fire in my belly, and I thought, well, listen, I'll try and catch this person. So I made a profile online, and within 10, 15 minutes, I had 30, 40 people messaging this account, men and women. It's all established from there. We went on to do the first sting, which was pretty hard at first because I'd never did it before. So I was a little bit worried about what I was doing. I actually felt guilty about what I was doing, believe it or not. But that's how it all started, is when my son was messaged by someone.
And you say you established a profile. What do you mean by that? You, in other words, you decided that you would establish the profile of a young girl?
Yeah, we do boys and girls.
Okay.
It's what we're doing now is we actually get photographs donated by people who's over 18 who allow us to use their photographs from when they were in school or even younger. We do that on a regular basis, and what we do is we just make a fake profile of a child and we just sit and leave it dormant until somebody actually messages that account.
And what sort of a message would they leave, Joe?
At first it's just, hi, how are you? What are you doing? What you been up to? Then we start telling them our age, that we've been to school, that we're doing exams or we're doing mock exams and things like that. And like I say, it's 9 times out of 10, if you tell them that you're under the age of 16 and the chat carries on, it normally turns and goes down the sexual route.
Right.
And then what we do is we gather all that information up. We gather as much information as we possibly can about the person who's on the other end of the phone.
So you're trying to draw them out.
Oh yeah, yeah. We talk about.
Sorry, Joe. Just my line's breaking up here. Sorry. Yes, go ahead again. Sorry. Say that again, Joe.
No. Yeah. Any information that we get from them, we gather that together. If they ask us for a meet, we'll meet them. If they don't want to meet, we will do an online search for their addresses And then we'll travel to their homes, which we'll have on hundreds of different occasions around the country. But a lot of the time, it's meetings. They want to meet us. They want to meet the child.
And, of course, they don't know that there's no child involved.
No, they've got no idea. It's like we say, we try to be as professional as we can about what we do. We try and act as best we can as a child and try not to spook them in any way.
Mm-hmm. And so the moment of the confrontation arrives, and how well planned and coordinated are you? I presume you've really got to get your facts right here before you make an approach, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Like I say, it's trying to get the person into a one-way street is where we can just park a car up and box the street off so they can't get away, and then we'll ring 999 and ask for an immediate response. But sometimes we have got to meet them in a street or in a busy place, and we'll just try and conduct it as professionally as we possibly can. We'll try and get the perpetrator out of the way of the public and into a quieter place, and we'll video the exactly what the confrontation is all about. We'll speak to them, we'll ask them questions, why they do what they do, and we'll actually use that video and the questions for, as part of an evidence pack.
What's the general reaction? Now, I know that you've operated quite a number of stings, haven't you? Like, how many of you operated over the last year?
Oh, quite a lot. I actually team up with other teams as well. I mean, I was out yesterday. We left home at 4 o'clock. I got back 6 o'clock the next morning, but we'd caught 3 people around the country. Carlisle, Birmingham and Wolverhampton.
Wow.
And then we've been out again today and caught another 2.
It's, and when you say catch, I presume when you call for response from the police respond by attending the incident. And what do you say to the police when they arrive? Do you tell them over the phone when you've called 999 what's after happening, or do you wait until they arrive?
No, it's basically, what we do is we give the call handler as much information as we possibly can so they can pass that on to the control room, and they'll send an officer out, and basically what we do is we'll show the officer various screenshots of throughout the chat, like the worst types, the worst things that they see. They look at that and then they just arrest the person, and we go off and do a statement at the police station like we have tonight. I'm actually at a police station now conducting a statement.
Mm-hmm. And are the police receptive to the work you do, or can they get a little bit hostile in relation to what many police would say you're doing the work that they should be doing?
Well, I totally accept that. And like I say, I would love for the police to be able to have the manpower to be able to do what we do, but I went to the police twice and I couldn't get any help. So we've took it upon ourselves to do it. But we'll get a good response from the police. I had a meeting with the police when I first started, and I told them I wouldn't go live on Facebook. I wouldn't put anything on Facebook till after the conviction. We'll put a picture up, but it's normally a blurred picture of whoever we've caught, and we've told them which area, and then we just wait for them to go through the courts. But some of the cases take up to 5 years to get to court.
Mm. And of course, the individual is on remand. Is not in jail.
Is
free to carry on doing whatever they're doing.
Yeah, well, the release pending inquiries, because what the forensic teams has got to do is go through the phones and any other children, and like I say, it's them downloads, because of there's a backlog of over a year now for the downloads for the phones, so obviously if we catch somebody today, you can guarantee it'll be a year before they get to court.
Yeah.
Because of the backlog of all the cases that were before the police.
And do you keep track of individuals who you've snared, who you've conducted these stings on?
Yes, we've got a system whereas everybody we catch we put onto several hard drives and keep them in separate places so we never ever lose that information. We've always got that information to fall back on or to help in any other cases that the police might have with these people.
And have you ever come across individuals who you've snared but who've gone back and you've caught again?
Yeah, I caught a guy down Birmingham 4 times, a guy from my player neck of the woods, Sunderland, caught him 3 times. But you find that these people will just continue doing what they do, and they get a lot more sly. They'll start using false names and this, that and the other, and, you know, they're a lot harder to catch.
Do they show any remorse, Joe, like particularly if you catch them a second or third time? Or... this is, of course, why they're called predators. They show no remorse, do they?
No, not at all. I've never come across... See, all the 8 years that I've been doing this, I've never found out the reason why any of them do what they do. They use various excuses, but, I mean, you know, to a normal person like ourselves, is them excuses don't wash, you know. They've got no reason to be speaking to children online.
Yeah. And can you tell me, obviously without giving too many details of the individuals involved, some of the more serious confrontations online, and I presume some of them are just completely unimaginable.
Yeah. Like I say, sometimes at the meets you don't know how you're going to go. I've had teeth knocked slack. I've had a car wrote off by someone driving straight at the car. Just, you know, I've had people trying to fight us, punches. You know, we've got to restrain people. I've got to defend myself from time to time. It's very rare it happens, but, I mean, there's been a lot of times where I have had to defend myself.
And when you say defend yourself, how would you do that?
We would just take them to the floor, which is reasonable force. Like I say, we don't hit them, we just like take them to the floor and we'll keep them there till the police officer arrives. We'll put them under citizen's arrest, and like I say, it's my responsibility to look after them and to look after myself whilst we've got them.
I take it many of these individuals have families and children of their own.
Oh yeah, there's been a lot of times where I've felt guilty because I've caught somebody who's had children themselves. They might be married. I caught a guy that had been married 40-odd years. He had 3 grown-up sons, and he turned out to meet a young boy.
Oh. How does it affect you, Joe? It must affect you personally. It must get to you at times, does it?
It gets to us a hell of a lot, but my way of coping with it and dealing with it is I'd rather be speaking to me than a real child. The people who I've got in me are actually people who have been affected by abuse themselves. Some stories are pretty horrendous. And I've watched these people go from doom and gloom and not having a smile on their face, not wanting to continue with life. I mean, these people have got smiles on their faces now, and doing this and catching these people is acting like a therapy, because there's no aftercare for anybody that the victims of sexual abuse. It's horrendous. There's a lot of aftercare for the paedophiles that were catched, but there's not much in a way of therapy for the people that has been affected by it.
But of course, it's very questionable whether paedophiles are rehabilitatable. There's a lot of talk that they're unrehabilitatable.
Yeah, well, it's been proved by the BBC, and I was actually doing a talk show on Talk TV with a criminologist who actually agreed with everything I said. You can't rehabilitate them. Is once you're attracted to a certain thing, you'll always be attracted to that certain thing. You know, it's how do you change somebody's, you know, what they feel inside, you know? It's like I say, I see it in the DNA, but like I say, there could be other excuses for it, but like I say, I'm yet to find out what a good enough excuse for them doing what they're doing to children.
And what's the reaction like there in the northeast of England, Joe, to your work, to Guardians of the North? Do the public applaud your work? Do they support you?
Oh, yeah, I've been called a superhero. I've been called all sorts. I've got so much respect around the northeast and all over England. Why, all over the world, actually. I've got followers from all over the world on my page. But it was never about doing that and having followers. It was all about just saving these children from a lifetime of, you know, depression and not being able to cope with what's happened to them. And, you know, it's like spiraled beyond my control sort of thing. It's just, some of it's a lot of public entertainment, I would say, some of the videos. But if I've got to go to a family's house and they've got children in that house, I will not video it. I will not go and confront that paedophile. I will ring the police and wait outside the person's house and let the police go in. It's a lot less traumatic for the families and the kids that's actually in the house.
Now, Simon Bailey, he's a chief constable. He's the national lead for child protection at the National Police Chiefs Council. He says these vigilante groups are putting the lives of children at risk. Now, I don't understand what he means by that. Maybe you do, because it certainly doesn't make sense to me. If anything, you're actually protecting children.
Well, that's it. As I mean, like I say, it's, we'll always be classed as vigilantes. We'll never get rid of that sort of thing. But it's his way of trying to make us look bad. I mean, in all fairness, we groups around the country, there's, and over in Ireland as well, there's groups all over the country, there's hundreds. And the amount of people that we are taking before the courts on a yearly basis, on a daily basis, they're all getting caught all over the country. It's unbelievable. So, I mean, like I say, it's because he's in the role that he is, he is actually being paid to tell the public that.
Yeah.
Whereas the public want completely different to what Simon Bailey wants. The public are so pleased that we do what we do. For the simple reason is when we do catch them, is we make it public so everybody is aware of the person that we've caught and to keep your kids away from them.
Am I right in thinking that you've been in contact and that you've been able to advise a couple of Irish groups?
I'm not so much in contact with them, but if they ever need to any advice from myself, is I've got a messaging system on my Facebook page,
okay,
and also on my Twitter and on TikTok as well. Like I say, I've put them on various different platforms just for their awareness. But if anybody ever needs any advice from me, I'm always there to give that advice. And like I say, it's up to them whether they take that advice.
Yeah. I'm just wondering about children, young children, when they hear that you're involved in this work. Have you heard back from parents in relation to what the young children think about the work you're doing?
Yeah, I've got a lot of friends in the northeast where the children go to school, and our team gets mentioned quite a lot within the schools and universities. I mean, we tried a few years ago to see if it was possible that we would be able to go around schools and, you know, give talks and stuff like that. Not in a frightening way, but in a way that, you know, a kid can understand. But like I say, we've got that stigma as being vigilantes, so it would never happen, you know. It's like I say, nobody wants to be a part of a vigilante organisation sort of thing, not when they're in a professional role.
Yeah, but is have the police given you that title? Have the police, do the police regard you as vigilante?
Yeah, like I say, Simon Bailey is one of them. But like I say, is if you ask Simon Bailey for a rundown of numbers and things like that, they'd always give you numbers that would favour the police, but I beg to differ. Mm. I think the groups is catching more than what the police are, and I think basically what the cybercrime unit is doing now is allowing us to carry on doing what we do so they can carry on doing other things, if you understand what I'm saying. You know, there's a lot more worse crimes happening around the UK, children being abused in horrible ways that we don't deal with, but they have to, if you understand what I'm saying. It's, they seem to be focusing more on that.
Joe, when you say that they're being seriously abused?
You know, kids is getting raped and things like that, and that's basically what the police is dealing with. But we deal with just like the grooming side is what we do. The police are reactive. We are proactive. Yeah. We are trying to prevent that crime from actually happening to a real child. And like I say, if the police want information from us, we give them it. But if we need any help from the police, it is not there. It is not there at all. Mm. Even though they've got respect for us and things like that, the red tape, because of the job that they do, they're not allowed to work with or alongside vigilante groups.
Mm. Yeah, we had... It became a very prominent story here in Ireland. This was a TV sports producer who worked for a broadcaster here. He was confronted by... I think it was the Leeds-based group Predator Exposure.
Yeah.
And he had flown from Ireland to Leeds intending to meet a girl aged 13, and he had actually been in touch with a group trying to catch sex offenders. This was Predator Exposure. There are quite a few groups there now, aren't there, in England?
I would say there's around about 120 groups.
Really? That many?
I mean, when when I first started... I think there was four groups originally around the country, and that I was one of them. And I was in and out the house every single day catching paedophiles up and down the country. We did a road trip. It took us 6 days, but we'd caught 24 people on that six-day road trip.
Oh, God. Do you ever feel like killing them?
Is that allowed to say?
Yeah, of course you can.
Well, I always... A dead paedophile will not reoffend, but at the end of the day is, you know, I've got a family myself, I've got kids myself. My thoughts is, I would love to do that, and I think that's how they'd be treated. But like I say, that's out of my hands. I can't take myself to do something like that.
Well, I think, realistically, Joe, I think if you formed two queues... One was made up of people who would prefer to see them dead, and the other was made up of people who thought they should be spared. I don't think there'd be any people in the second queue.
No, there wouldn't be.
No.
I totally agree with you there.
What do your own kids think of the work you do, Joe?
Oh, they're so proud of the dad. Like I say, it was my youngest son that was messaged first, and like I say, I had a good relationship with my kids. He came straight down and says, "Have you seen what this man sent us and this, that and the other?" And I was like, wow. And like I say, I was so upset when I come away from the police station thinking, well, what the hell is I supposed to do? You know what I mean? And I'd seen the couple of groups that was out at the time, and I thought, well, listen, if they can do it, so can I. And like I say, my oldest son, he's good at IT. He helped us set it all up. He's like one of the founders with me. He did all the computer work while I was online speaking to various people.
You're an amazing man, Joe, and it's a real honour to talk to you tonight, and a great pleasure to chat to you as well. And It's a kind of a well-known phrase, keep up the good work, but I think in your case, definitely keep nailing these people.
I really appreciate your support and the support of everybody else. And like I say, if any of your listeners is needing any help or advice, just tell them to message the page, and I'm always there to give them the advice, the best advice I can, and help them in the best way I can as well.
Take care, Joe. Have a safe night. Thanks for talking to us. Take care.
You too. Good night.
Thank you. Joe Jones, the founder of Guardians of the North. What a conversation. That's it. Have yourselves a safe and peaceful night. And I hope your children are safe and that they're asleep at this stage. We'll be back with you tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. Jane McNamara produced the programme. From me, Gareth O'Callaghan, take care.
Nighttime Talk. Call us now on 0818 942 105.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Now. Real people. Real opinions. Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.